This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas, powered by U Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. A Malaysian by birth, but now the Australian Minister for Foreign Affairs, on The Breakfast Grill this morning is Senator Penny Wong. It's clearly been a busy time for the new Labour government and even for this minister that came into power in May, and her diplomatic whirlwind tour of Pacific Islands and Southeast Asia is a reflection of this. Welcome to the show, and of course, Selamat Pulang. Okay, Senator Wong, we counted 8 to 9 country visits, including Malaysia, since you started at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. What is the key agenda of the Albanese government foreign policy then?
Well, the first priority is to get out into the region and engage. As a new government, we thought it was really important for us to engage with regional partners, whether that was Japan or Indonesia or in the Pacific, where I've been to a number of Pacific Island nations, or, of course, Vietnam and Malaysia. Which is this trip. Fundamentally, we think it's very important that the new government make sure we're out in the region, talking with the region, listening to the region, and finding areas where we can cooperate in today's world.
Okay, because I did notice a very different change in tone from your speech in Bahasa Malaysia, the itinerary of the visit so far, and even press reports. Would it be fair to say your tone and style is more persuasive than dictative when it comes to foreign policy and even building those relationships when compared to your predecessor?
Well, that's for others to judge. What I can say is, I'm from the region and my appointment reflects the and diversity of the Australian society. I mean, modern Australia is a very different place to Australia sort of 20, 30 or 40 years ago. One in two people are either born overseas or have parents who are born overseas. We're a modern, diverse, multicultural nation. And the government, and I think the Australian people, recognise these are times of great change and Australia's future lies in this region. Our security lies in this region. And that means we want to engage fully and deeply and we want to listen.
Okay, that listening is very important, right? So part of that, I would presume, is respecting the national differences between every type of country. So is there going to be a shift away from this, almost a no more, a take or leave it Anglo-style approach to governing?
Well, I hope that we wouldn't be approaching a whole range of difficult issues from a take it or leave it position. I mean, I think we're partners. We're partners with Malaysia. We have a very important comprehensive strategic partnership. It's what we have at a formal level between governments, and that's indicative of a very close relationship. So I think we should talk, we should listen, we should work out where we can cooperate more fully, and where we have differences, we should seek to deal with them respectfully. That's certainly the approach I'll be seeking.
And does this extend to China, though? That's clearly the elephant in the room. I mean, actually, this year marks 50 years of diplomatic relations between Canberra and Beijing. So are we going to see a tour of relations? I mean, I look at the congratulatory message to Anthony Albanese upon winning the elections. It seems that China is ready for a reset and maybe perhaps more constructive dialogue.
What we've said in terms of our bilateral relationship with China is this, that we will always stand up for Australia's interests and Australian values. We've continued to put our view that the trade sanctions or the economic sanctions that China has placed upon Australia should be removed. But we will take a calm and considered approach to dealing with China, just as we take a calm and considered approach to dealing with other nations. We recognise that, as I hope China recognises, we are both in this region. Constructive engagement is something we should aspire to. And ultimately, both sides, both countries will have to make those steps over time.
And this extends even to, questions over allegations of human rights abuses?
Well, as I said, we're not going to be stepping away from our values. And human rights let's understand, these are not Western precepts. These are international precepts, internationally agreed views about universal rights that all individuals are entitled to have respected. And ultimately, those rights are about making sure that no single authority, no single state, no single higher power is entitled to abrogate the human rights of individual persons. And, they are principles that the United Nations have signed up to, and countries across the world have promised to adhere to.
Okay, so, Senator, let's look at some of your visits. The first port of call were the Pacific Islands. Is this because you said that the security agreement that China signed with the Solomon Islands in particular was the worst Australian foreign policy failure in history? Are you there to correct the situation?
No, I'm there to do what we think Australia needs to do, which is, as one of the members of the Pacific Island Forum, one of the countries in the region, we want to listen, we want to engage, we want to put more energy and more resources into the Pacific, and we want to talk with them about the circumstances they face, in particular climate change. One of the things that it does differ between this government, the Albanese government, and the previous Australian government is that we have a much more ambitious agenda on climate, both domestically and internationally. And as someone who was the climate minister many years ago, the first climate minister that Australia had, I wanted to talk with Pacific Island nations and listen to them about their experience. For them, climate change is present, it is real, and as their leaders have articulated in various declarations, it is the number one national security threat they face.
Okay. But in the region, and we're talking about even extending to Southeast Asia, what has been practiced has been a lot of checkbook diplomacy. How do we move away from that, especially coming from China?
Well, I can only talk about what Australia will do, what other nations do. Obviously something you might wish to put to them. But the way we see it is this. Our prosperity and our security lies in the region. So when we work with other nations on their development and their economic advancement or cooperate in areas of mutual benefit like climate or education, it is an investment in the region and it is an investment in our shared future.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Australian Minister for Foreign Affairs, Senator Penny Wong. After the break, the importance of bilateral relations with Southeast Asia and Malaysia against the backdrop of rising Indo-Pacific tensions.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning is Senator Penny Wong, Minister for Foreign Affairs for Australia. Before the break, how does this lucky country counter the growing dominance of China in the region whilst also repairing relations with it? Okay, let's bring the conversation a little bit closer to Malaysia, and that's the Southeast Asia relations. I think it's commonly known that the Labour government's stand is that there's been a record of neglect under previous administrations. So is this extensive ministerial face-to-face diplomacy part of repairing the relations in the short term? And are you looking to appoint a special envoy to do so?
Well, firstly, special envoy was one of our election commitments because we said we wanted to bring a stronger focus to Southeast Asia. But you should anticipate with me as minister, not just because of my heritage, my links to the region, being from the region, but also because of our worldview, that you will see a lot of us in the region. Labour governments and people from the Labour Party's history, and that's the party I represent, I come from, we have always taken the view of the importance of the region. We've always taken a view that the region is where our security and our prosperity ultimately lies. So it is unsurprising that a new Labour government will demonstrate that in what we do. Now, obviously, many of the issues have changed over the last 20, 30 years, but the principle remains the same, which is we do better when we work together, and we want to work with Malaysia, with Indonesia, with Vietnam and the other countries of ASEAN.
Okay, so you mentioned economic prosperity, which brings about trade, right? And I think that's critical. So, you know, how do we grow trade between the region? And is that very much driven by also Australia's perspective, whereby there's a necessity for trade diversification to almost lessen Australians' dependence on the largest export market, which is China?
Well, let's focus on what we want. We want a region which is stable, which is prosperous, which is peaceful. We want a region in which sovereignty is respected, and we want a region in which there are predictable rules, where, you know, we know that disputes can be resolved, issues can be resolved, interactions can be managed by predictable rules. Now, trade is one of them, and Australia has consistently over decades been an advocate for open, consistent and predictable trading arrangements, because we see those as a very important platform for our economic growth, but also for the economic growth of other countries. So when I look at why do I want to improve and deepen our economic relationship and our trading relationship with Malaysia, it isn't a zero-sum game. It's a view about the benefit to both countries of that engagement. It's one of the issues that the Foreign Minister Saifuddin and I discussed today. You know, how can we grow the economic relationship? And I think, you know, if we can do that over the next few years, that would be a good thing for both countries and for the people of both countries.
And have you had any discussions with regards to Australia's role as a defence and security partner in this region, especially since we've seen increasing incursions of China in the Indo-Pacific waters and even in the airspace?
I go back to where my previous answer, which is, you know, what are we for? We're for a region that's peaceful, stable, prosperous, in which sovereignty is respected and which rules are observed.
Okay.
And the reason we want that is because we don't want conflict, we don't want escalation, we don't want larger powers determining what should occur on their own. So, you know, we do have that view, and the work we do in our defence and strategic engagement in the region, as well as our economic engagement, reflects those objectives. On the law of the sea, which is the South China Sea, I'd make two points. One is the South China Sea should recall, is not just a body of water in relation to which there are a range of territorial claims. It also is a body of water in which a very large proportion of certainly Australia's trade, but the world's trade, transits. So we all have an interest in freedom of navigation, freedom of overflight, and very importantly, safety of navigation and overflight.
Okay. Is that why the Quad is actually so important? And the Quad, of course, is between Australia, India, Japan and the US and, of course, Australia. Is that going to be the centrepiece of Australia's foreign policy then? I mean, after all, Anthony Albanese made that trek to Japan for the summit just 3 days after an election win, and I'm sure he must have been exhausted.
ASEAN is the centre of the region, and we see the Quad working alongside ASEAN towards the sort of region that we want. And we also see the Quad as having benefits that are not just strategic, but, for example, the provision of vaccines, those areas where, you know, partners can help work to deliver assistance or to deliver economic or community benefit to other nations. But fundamentally, ASEAN centrality is still the centre of ASEAN, is still the heart of the sort of region that we all seek.
Okay. But isn't the Quad in some way a response to counter China's dominance in this region, though? Which is both from an economic and even security perspective.
I think of it more as a relationship between like-mindeds that works alongside ASEAN to ensure the sort of region with the characteristics that I've outlined. And I think there's benefit in that kind of engagement between different countries of the region.
Okay, what about your commitment towards ASEAN? How do you hope to develop this relationship? Because ASEAN is unique. It's not a political bloc. It's almost a community of nations coming together. And we still have some unresolved issues like the crisis in Myanmar.
Yes. Well, look, I was very privileged in my trip to Jakarta to attend the ASEAN Secretariat, to meet with the current Secretary General and to have a very productive meeting with permanent representatives at ASEAN. And we spoke about many things, the region, engagement with ASEAN, but also Australia is one of the early partners, comprehensive strategic partners that ASEAN has. We spoke about what it is we needed to do to give effect to that, what are the areas that we want to work in. And we worked through that in the meeting. So I think what you'll see from us is a real commitment and more energy and resources in our engagement with ASEAN as an entity, as well as a focus on trying to look at what we can do in each of the bilateral relationships with the region.
Okay, Senator Wong, I know I don't have much of your time, but I do want to ask this question, and that is, you're a poster child of a successful immigrant. You left Australia at 8, lawyer, risen to the top politically, and now you're the Minister of Foreign Affairs. Yeah, and you're open out there, you have an open alternative lifestyle. Is this testament as to why Australia remains a top choice for migration? I mean, it seems like nothing is impossible, isn't it?
Well, look, I love Australia, and I love my country, and I also have enormous affection for the country of my birth, which is Malaysia. And I do think one of the great strengths Australia has that I hope during my period as Foreign Minister I can elevate in terms of how we tell our story to the world is our diversity. I know that at times in the past people have thought of Australia, as a post-colonial power and as a largely Anglo-Saxon nation. And actually, if you come to Australia, as you probably know, we're a very diverse country with and a country that values inclusion and participation. Now we've got a road to travel. We still have more work to do. But if I look at our parliament now, and I look at who has been elected in this last election, and the number of women from diverse backgrounds who've been elected, it is a parliament that is starting to really reflect the diversity of Australia. And I think that is a strength for us as a nation, and it is a strength for us in the world.
And of course, I haven't forgotten that you're here to visit Malaysia, aside from probably getting some good food. So, how does having Malaysian roots change the bilateral relations, and what do you hope to accomplish?
Well, nothing changes. You always need to do things in order to change things, don't you? I mean, to be honest, it's quite an emotional thing to come back to your country, to the country of your birth, as the Foreign Minister of the country you now call home. It's a big thing, and it's a real privilege. I hope I can bring to this discussion some greater personal understanding of Malaysia and the way in which Malaysia is trying to navigate the many challenges they face, as well as the enormous progress your nation has made in the decades past. I have an enormous affection for the country of my birth, and I will certainly bring that to the engagement.
On that note, thank you for your time. Today on Breakfast Grill was Senator Penny Wong, the Australian Minister for Foreign Affairs. I'm Wong Shaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, where unlimited potential begins.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.